It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition, over the hump day, and 1 week into March already. Can you believe that? Wow, March 7th. We have a good program lined up for you today. Several guests will be joining us a little bit later. We'll be chatting with Maria Graziani, Penn State Extension educator. And also joining us later today will be the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, Stan Kosciuszko, along with Wendy Sciullo, Assistant Vice President of Mars Bank, and Adriana Bly, who's the manager of the new hotel. It's about to open in downtown Butler, the Spring Hill Suites. So all of that to look forward to later on the program today. But we're going to talk a little music, first of all, with a great upcoming concert this weekend at Suckup Theater. And here to tell us about it are Larry Stock, the director of the Suckup Theater Complex from BC3. Larry, good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Always great to be here, Dave.
And we also have two friends from the Pittsburgh Philharmonic joining us by telephone, including the director of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, Edward Leonard. Ed, nice to talk to you again. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And the president of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic also here, Caroline Carlins. Caroline, good to have you as well.
Yeah, great to be here.
The Pittsburgh Philharmonic is next performing Larry Stock. It's this weekend, right?
It is this Saturday evening. We have changed up a little bit. We always used to do Fridays, mm-hmm. and this year we did Sunday matinees in the fall, and in the spring we're doing Saturday evening starting at 7:30, not 8 o'clock. So it's a little bit of a change from what we've done for the past, I don't know how many years. So it's a little bit of a different time, but 7:30 on Saturday evening.
Great, get to bed a little earlier. Huh?
There you go, especially because we had to turn the clocks ahead, remember.
That's right, this weekend, yeah.
That's right, Saturday night. So,
Edward Leonard, let me ask you, first of all, what's on the program for the concert this Saturday night? What will the Pittsburgh Philharmonic be performing?
Sure, we'll be doing some selections from the Slavonic Dances by Dvorak, also some selections from Faust, an opera by Gounod, a French composer. We're going to have our concerto competition winner, Chris Fedor, performing the first movement of the Dvorak Cello Concerto, and also the amazing and popular Academic Festival Overture by Brahms.
Tell us a little bit about Chris. Is he a student, or is he out of school?
He is a high school senior at North Hill or North Allegheny High School. He is in the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony Orchestra, one of their principal cello players. He's a fantastic kid, works really, really hard, and just a phenomenal cellist. So a real delight to work with.
Cello seems to be becoming more and more popular. Yeah. With I think ever since Yo-Yo Ma was on Mr. Rogers 15 or 20 years ago, whenever that was, yeah.
It's a beautiful instrument.
So how do you, was there a competition here, Edward? How was Chris Bedore selected?
He was selected. We did have an audition process, so we had a first round where kids would send in. It's been the easiest to have them just send in YouTube videos, which makes our job a lot easier than CDs. And then they sent in an application, and I think we picked about 8 finalists, and they all came in person to the Millvale location where we've been performing at Mount Alvernia in Millvale. And they each performed their movement, and Chris was the selected winner.
Carolyn, this is the... let me see. This is concert number 3 out of a 4 concert series that you're going to be performing here in Butler, right?
It is, yep. We have one left that's in May. I believe it's on the 12th, another Saturday.
Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh Philharmonic has made Suckup Theater their northern home, and I understand that the orchestra is very pleased with that. Do you like the venue?
Oh, we love the venue. It's such a wonderful place to be, and I mean the staff that run it are great. Larry and all of his tech staff who are on hand are wonderful to work with, and the venue couldn't be better.
You still have tickets available for this concert Saturday night, Larry Stock?
Oh, absolutely. Tickets for both concerts are for the one on the 10th and then one on May 12th. They're both still available. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get them. All you have to do is call us at 724-284-8505 and leave a message if you don't get us on the phone, because we will return the call and take care of you. Or you can go on our website and go online at bc3.edu/suckup-theater, and you can get them, purchase them right there online.
What's the size, Carolyn, of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic? About how many musicians can people expect to see on stage Saturday night?
We'll have about 50 musicians, and our musicians come from all over. So while a lot of them are music professionals in the area, many have full-time jobs doing other things too. So we have engineers and doctors, sort of a wide range of people, but everyone has just a passion for music, so it's going to be a really great show. Our rehearsal this past Monday was pretty good.
I want to talk with Edward Leonard a little bit about some of these composers. Some of our listeners may not be too familiar with them. Dvorak was a Czech composer, I believe. Is that right, Edward?
That's correct.
Is he best known for a couple of particular pieces, or what?
You would probably be most familiar with his New World Symphony that has the very famous coming home melody, da 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 dee, da da, that most people would be familiar with. He had a huge range of writing, but was mostly known for really being patriotic and loving his home country of Czechoslovakia, so a very romantic, nationalistic composer from the mid-19th century.
Mm-hmm. And Brahms was also from the Romantic period in about the same time frame. I think he was a little bit older than Dvorak, but about the same time frame, right?
You're exactly right. He was a little bit ahead, maybe a generation ahead of Dvorak, and the pieces we're going to do, actually a young Dvorak, the Slavonic dances, which he orchestrated, he sent along to Brahms, who actually encouraged Dvorak to continue his pursuits in composing. So they definitely had a friendship and a camaraderie.
Brahms was not a Czech, though.
No, he was a German from Hamburg, so a German through and through.
Most folks would remember Brahms' Lullaby, I think, right?
Oh, yes, the Brahms Lullaby, a lot of his piano pieces they would recognize, the Hungarian dances, which are really fiery and full of joy and tempestuousness, and they probably would recognize this piece, the Academic Festival Overture, which is famously part of, I don't know if you remember, the Animal House movie from the early 80s. But this
do I ever? I watch it every month.
So if you remember the opening credits, this is actually quoted by that film composer, part of this overture. So yeah, Brahms came a long way.
My knowledge of classical music is growing, but still somewhat limited. You'll probably laugh when I tell you. Am I pronouncing his name right? Gounod.
Gounod, exactly. Charles Gounod, yep.
I knew he was French, and first time I ever encountered him, Barbara Streisand did his arrangement of Ave Maria on her first Christmas album.
That's right,
about
did.
40 years ago, and that's the first time I ever saw his name anyway. Obviously,
right.
He's done a lot of other stuff other than that.
Yeah, and he wrote this opera, Faust. The program overall is called Back to School. And Faust, the story of Faust, which is an opera by Gounod, is about this kind of scientist, like crazy scientist, trying to figure out the secrets of life, and he makes a deal with the devil in order to really gain knowledge over all science and learn the secrets of life. So that he's kind of getting back to school in that way. But yeah, the opera kind of follows his adventures, and we're playing some selections from the ballet music from that opera.
The story of Faust kind of reappears everywhere and
pops up and down
literature
everywhere,
yeah. And music and everything else from that period. And what again is the young artist winner performing, Edward? I, for started to write that down, but I missed it.
He's playing the first movement of the Dvorak Cello Concerto, which is a real amazing, virtuosic, romantic concerto. Just beautiful, beautiful writing for the cello, which you mentioned is becoming more and more popular. Very, very beautiful instrument, and the orchestra writing is just gorgeous. So it's a really nice dialogue between the soloist, Chris, playing cello, and the rest of the orchestra.
Now, when you have a young artist like this, obviously Chris is very accomplished, but he's still in high school. Do you have to schedule an extra rehearsal with him and the Philharmonic, or do you just keep on regular schedule? Is he that good?
He's been working really, really hard. When he came in and did his final audition and won the competition, he was pretty much ready to go. For most of these concertos, a soloist will work with a pianist. So they have a pianist kind of playing the orchestra part instead of the full orchestra. So we've been able to maintain our typical schedule and include him in a couple rehearsals. So that makes it just more practical for everybody.
We're talking, listeners, if you joined us a little bit late on the It's Your Turn program here today, we're talking about the Pittsburgh Philharmonic. They're in concert again this Saturday evening at 7:30 at Suckup Theater on the BC3 campus. It's part of the mini-series of concerts, four of them all together. And this will be the third in the series by the Pittsburgh Philharmonic at Suckup Theater. Oh, I'm just looking ahead a little bit to your final concert in May. One of my favorite pieces, Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov.
Absolutely. That is absolutely one of my favorite pieces.
Oh, I love to listen to that. Yeah.
And I don't know that I've ever heard it performed live on stage before.
I know I haven't.
And so
I'm about worn out my CD copy, but there's nothing, if you're having a rough time going to sleep, there's nothing better to fall asleep by than Scheherazade.
It's just such beautiful music. It's, of course, by Rimsky-Korsakov. One of the great Russian composers.
You're hitting all the European composers here, Edward. You're hitting all the countries with the classical music we've put on the program this year.
That's right. Well, we really try to be diverse in our programming, and you'll notice about this concert. It's funny you bring up Scheherazade for our last concert, which is a huge epic piece. It really tells a long story that. It's told like throughout, about 45 minutes of music. But this weekend we're doing a concert of kind of smaller pieces. And we also have a young composers competition in May, and we like to include young people playing concerto. So we really try to be diverse. So, yeah, we try to play music from all over the world.
So you have young people, this just amazes me, that are not only accomplished soloists, but they're composing in high school and college? Wow.
Yes. I started a competition, I think it was, Carolyn will probably correct me, but I think it was three seasons ago, four seasons ago, to try to give young composers an outlet. If you're a composer, especially starting out, it's difficult to get opportunities to have your works performed, especially larger pieces. Smaller pieces are easy just because of personnel. But large orchestral pieces are difficult. So we've included that in our May program, so you get to hear a masterpiece by one of the great composers, Rimsky-Korsakov, and also a premiere of a work by a local young composer. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
The deadline for that is coming up as well, so there's still time to apply if there's any composers listening. It's March 23rd, and the application pool, we originally started with just high school students and realized that there was a greater need in the area for young composers below the age of 35. So that includes high school, college, and even recent graduates are eligible to apply for this composer contest.
Edward, tell us a little bit about your background. Are you originally from this area?
I've lived in Pittsburgh for about 15 years. I grew up in South Carolina in Charleston. If you're familiar with Charleston, that's where the Spoleto Music and Arts Festival is every summer. So I grew up there near the warm beaches and moved to Pittsburgh, which actually has seasons. We don't have much as far as seasons, just kind of summer and winter in South Carolina. So that was a nice change to see a real fall and spring. And I moved here to do the orchestral conducting program at Carnegie Mellon. And after completing that, I joined the Pittsburgh Philharmonic as its music director. I've also been to several summer festivals to continue learning about conducting and working with orchestras. I've also founded a chamber orchestra in Pittsburgh, and just really busy as a musician and a pianist.
So do many conductors, most conductors, start out as musicians? Or did you know early on in life that you wanted to be a conductor?
That's a pretty interesting question. So I think most conductors do come from a musical background, playing an instrument. That really helps, I think, with the practical side of things. I was trained as a pianist. I played piano since I was about four, and then got my undergraduate degree in South Carolina in piano performance. And then when looking at options after the bachelor's program, a lot of people recommended that I follow this path to Pittsburgh, to Carnegie Mellon, where there was an opening in the conducting studio. And after meeting with the teacher there, I decided to take that course. So it was kind of a real big decision, and changes you from actually playing the piano, which is you get immediate feedback and something that you can physically practice, to something that's much more abstract. Conducting is much more about making connections with people and learning to work with an orchestra and learning how to be efficient and all those things. So it's still, they're both, of course, musical pursuits, but very different from each other.
Well, I think having a background as an accomplished performer, though, would be a big help toward being an effective conductor. I've read that some conductors memorize the piece that they're conducting, which just boggles my mind. It's not only many pages of music, but you're looking at, how many different parts on each page. Have you ever attempted that? Or please tell me you use a book, Edward.
It really depends on the kind of music. With the more abstract modern pieces that are incredibly complex and complicated and dense, I think it would be incredibly difficult to memorize those with the same ease as, let's say, a less complicated piece by Mozart or something like that. But I've done both. It really does depend on what the rep is, how familiar you are with it, and how comfortable you are with your players. And mostly about the comfort and what's going to help the orchestra the best. Sometimes it's more freeing to not have the score in front of you, so you're much more focused on the orchestra and what's happening. Or sometimes it's much more helpful to the players if you're being very, very clear on the direction of the piece and on the details.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see how, if you didn't have to keep your eyes on the book all the time, you could connect more easily with the the musicians. But still, that amazes me. Carolyn Carlins, you're not only president of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, you're a member of the Philharmonic. What do you play?
Yes, I play violin.
Have you been with the Philharmonic for a while?
I've been with the Philharmonic for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I had joined, I had played actually for a few summers whenever I was back from school. I grew up in the North Hills area, and then when I came back from my master's degree, I decided that I wanted to play with a group and then knew of the Philharmonic, and that's how I ended up joining.
Do either of you know when the Pittsburgh Philharmonic was formed? Has it been around for a long time?
I do have a date, and it's been 42 years, but I don't remember where that takes us back in history now.
That qualifies as a long time, I think.
I know they've been performing at BC3 ever since they were formed. They used to come for our summer concert series. And then the first year we opened the theater, which, by the way, coincides, Ed, I didn't realize that you and I moved from South Carolina about the same time. I was down there for 19 years and moved up here in 2002. I was in Myrtle Beach. But I'm very familiar with Charleston and the Spoleto Festival and all of that. So I didn't realize that. But anyway, that's pretty cool. And you can say all you want about the seasons. Winter still is not fun up here. But anyway.
No.
I lost my train of thought on this now, but whatever I was saying. But It's been, you guys have been around a while because you've been performing out of BC3. And I started the first year we had our series, you started doing the holiday concert. And then at some point, we started doing all four of your concerts up here. And I'm not sure exactly how long ago that's been. It's been at least, I'm guessing at least 8 years, 8 or 9, 10 maybe years that we've been doing that.
Yeah,
it's been a while, but it's like I'm so delighted to have you guys up here 4 times a year.
And the audiences are most appreciative, too, of having the opportunity to not only hear but see the Pittsburgh Philharmonic perform 4 times a year. They'll be back in concert this Saturday night at Suckup Theater. Some of our listeners, Caroline or Ed, may be wondering, what's the difference between a Philharmonic and a symphony? Are they the same thing, or are there subtle differences? Edward Leonard?
I think they're essentially the same thing. It was pointed out to me that the root of philharmonic means the love of sound, so that's where that word comes from. Symphony, I think, has something to do with, like, ensemble, but they're essentially the same thing, kind of a larger orchestra that specializes in these larger pieces that we'll be playing.
So there's no significant difference in the type of instruments that are played?
I don't really think so. I think it's mostly how it rolls off the tongue. So the Pittsburgh Philharmonic sounds really, really cool. And there's also already a Pittsburgh Symphony. So we had
that name was taken, yes. So,
Well, some of the big, really big cities, concert cities around the world have a Philharmonic.
They do.
Right, yeah. Right, like the New York Philharmonic.
Yes.
And exactly.
They have the New York Symphony as well, mm-hmm. I believe.
Right.
Well, your chance to see and hear the Pittsburgh Philharmonic in concert this Saturday evening at Suckup Theater. Concert time is 7:30, and we'll let Carolyn and Edward go. Hey, thanks for joining us here on a snowy Wednesday. It's nice to talk to you folks again.
Thank you. We really enjoyed being here.
We'll see you on Saturday.
I'll see you on Saturday, guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Sure. So long now. Very accomplished musicians, and boy, it'll be nice to have them here.
Oh, absolutely. It's always wonderful to have them here. And they're also bringing Grater's Ice Cream back for their sample. After the concert, Grater's Ice Cream from Wexford has been giving out samples to the ice cream. So I don't know what flavors they're bringing this time, but they'll be giving out samples of their ice cream after the concert.
Free?
So, yeah, oh yeah. It's a pretty cool deal. Yeah, they've been doing that for the last, they started that last year. And they were still doing it, so it's very cool. So we're happy to have that.
You have another concert in your series coming up in fairly short order.
I do. In fact, Sunday is coming up. The Tornado Big Band is coming for our local artist performance series. And this is always a big hit. If you've not heard these kids, talk about young people being talented, Dave. These kids are... They perform well over their age, trust me. They are amazing. You close your eyes, you think there's a bunch of 45, 50-year-old people, guys up on stage. These kids play the original arrangements from Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, whoever, the same arrangements that the bands played then, and their, or whoever the composer was, whoever the band was. And they play them beautifully. And then they also play all the new stuff that's coming out. There's a lot of interest in big bands anymore, as still these days. And there's a lot of them that tour around all over the country, and there's a lot of new literature for these bands. And they play all these new arrangements, and they're not the watered-down, versions of these arrangements. These are the real thing. And they play beautifully. And this is another group. They performed, they used to be at the first concert of our summer concert series every year, the old BC3 Lab Band, or Butler High Lab Band. And now they have morphed this in. Jeff Croner has taken this another step further in the last probably 10 years, at least.
I would say about 10 years ago.
And turned this into the Tornado Big Band. And then there's also the younger band will be performing as well, the predecessors in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And this is the Tornado Big Band is the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. But they'll both be performing. And They're amazing. They're just, you just can't believe how good they are.
They look good. They got the bandstands, you know, like the Miller Bands and Benny Goodman they all used to have.
Oh, yeah.
They look sharp.
Oh, they look terrific, and they just play so well. So that concert is Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and you can also get tickets at the same place. You can get the Philharmonic tickets at our box office line, 724-284-8505, or you can go online at bc3.edu/suckup-theater. You can also purchase them at the door. And the tickets are for the Sunday concert are $10, $8 for seniors. For the Philharmonic tickets, they are $15 and $13 for the seniors.
And that does not by any means wrap up your performing arts series for this year.
No, I still have other events coming up. I have the performing arts series we are finished with, but we have two more concerts in our, beyond the Tornado Big Band, we have two more of our local artist events, which is the Robin Hassenflew and Friends on Sunday the 15th of April. And Robin plays first chair in the Butler Symphony, as plays a cello, and she also performs with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Really?
Which I just found out very recently.
Oh, they're always in Pittsburgh right before Christmas.
This region, she helps them, she tours with them, and then she also helps get the musicians, the local musicians they need to bring in, she helps secure them for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So I just found that out after my brochure was printed this year. I had that in there.
Hey, folks, if you've never seen them, they do like an outdoor stadium concert indoors.
Yes,
all of the pyrotechnics.
But Robin is terrific. She's bringing some friends with her this time. It's Music by the Numbers. And then we have the Wellstrung Bluegrass Band coming on Sunday, May 6th. And that's a bunch of very talented musicians from different disciplines that have all come together and decided to play bluegrass. And they are really very good. So, and then, of course, the final concert with the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, which is the Scheherazade, which, again, that's one of my all-time favorite pieces. You said you wore out your CD. I used to listen to the old 78 records my dad had given me back years ago. I used to play those in my room, in my bedroom. And I had the old player with the CD, the 78 speed records. I used to play Scheherazade.
I had a vinyl. It was an LP, though. It was a 33 and a third.
Yeah.
It didn't take long to wear those.
No.
It amazes me that some people are going back to those today. They think the sound is fuller. I think they're nuts myself.
Well, it depends. I guess if the audiophiles are there, they hear subtle differences.
It's so hard to find a specific piece.
And you have to have a good needle, or you grind your record apart. Yeah,
CD or an MP3. You press a button, and there it is.
There you are. One other thing I need to mention. On Sunday, we are also having a reception for a new art show in the Mary Holton Phillips Gallery by Eileen Tyke. Everybody, I understand, calls her by Tyke Vaughn. And she has had graduated from BC3 study with David Ludwig. Or she a BC3 graduate who studied with David Ludwig. And it's an exhibit called Electric and Oil. And there will be a reception to coincide with the Tornado Big Band concert, starting at 1 o'clock. So if you're going to the 2 o'clock concert, come in early, and you can go to the exhibit and go to the reception there. And then following they're going to go till 4 o'clock. So you could stop in at intermission for the Tornado Big Band concert as well.
What kind of works is she showing?
It's a lot of landscapes and a lot of it's a whole combination of things she has.
Good.
Grand Canyon's one of them, and there's
this is right next to the Suck Up Theater.
Yeah, it's right off of the lobby. You turn right when you go to the stairs and go back in there, and it's the right first room on the left, or on the right rather. But so the reception will be going on as well. So we're busy out there. We got all kinds of things happening at the Suck Up Theater right now, and in the art gallery, and we're always entertaining. That's what I used to use that for a line. We're always entertaining. But we always got something cooking out there. So
Larry Stock visiting with us. And again, tickets are available for the Pittsburgh Philharmonic concert this Saturday
night. And the concert for Sunday. And again, you can call our box office, 724-284-85. Oh, God, I'm going to say the wrong phone number now. I've said it to me. 724-284-8505. And or you can go online at bc3.edu/suckup-theater. Or you can purchase them at the door. There will be tickets for both concerts at the door.
I'm glad someone else has trouble remembering phone numbers. And, you know, you used to be able to do that easily. Now, because you seldom dial anymore, you just push a button on your smartphone.
And I found the older I get, Dave, the harder it is.
Really?
Remember? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's getting worse. So,
thanks, Harry. Good to see you today. Nice to have you with us.
Great to be here, Dave. Thank you so much.
And we also thank Edward Leonard, the director of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, and Carolyn Carlins, president of the Pittsburgh Philharmonic, and also violinist with the group, visiting with us here today. More to come on the It's Your Turn program on this Wednesday. We'll be chatting in just a couple of minutes with Penn State Extension educator Maria Graziani. And still later, Stan Kosciuszko will be stopping in. He's the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, along with Wendy Sciullo, vice president for Mars Bank, and Adriana Bly. We talked with Adriana, it was last year. I think it was early last year. She is the manager of the new Spring Hill Suites by Marriott Hotel in downtown Butler. So we'll be getting information on that a little bit later on the program today as well. But stick around. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be chatting with Maria coming up here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR, back right after these words.
When we visit Tanglewood for doo-wop concerts and oldies dances, we also revisit our youth. Do you remember the band Freedom Child from back in the day? See them again Saturday, March 10th at Tanglewood, your hometown center for entertainment. Freedom Child with Jerry Johnston, Jim Grolem, and Jim Schaffner, Pete Scheidemano, and Frank Angeloni promise a night of nostalgia. Doors open at 6, steak dinner by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. $20 per person or $10 just for the show. As always, it's BYOB. Call 287-0021 for reservations.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, listeners. Great to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Did you have snow early today? Most folks around Butler County did, and it was a real surprise. I was a surprise to the weather folks, too, because they had not predicted it. And it was the timing that caused us the problem. It's pretty much all gone now, everywhere. But, boy, around 4 o'clock this morning, give or take a few minutes, depending on where you were, it started to snow here in Butler, and it was snowing to beat the band. And before you know it, we had an inch or two of very wet snow sticking to everything, and it was still dark, and the road crews were taken by surprise, and it was pretty dicey for an hour or so, and then, of course, things cleared out very, very quickly. We had actually a number of schools here in our area that went on a two-hour delay today because of the dicey road conditions at the start. No problem now. Well, we welcome our next guest here on the It's Your Turn program today. She is Maria Graziani. She is a Penn State Extension educator, working mainly in farm financial management, based out of Beaver County. Did I get all that right, Maria?
That's all correct, and you said my name beautifully. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to have you with us here today. We've visited with Maria in the past. You've been with Penn State Extension now, I want to say, is it close to 2 years already?
You're right, almost 2 years.
Yeah, I can remember the first time we chatted. Well, it's nice to have you back with us.
Thank you.
You do a lot of work with succession planning for farmers and farm families. Can we take a few minutes and talk about that? First of all, just what it means when you're talking about succession planning, Maria?
Yeah, it actually means a couple of things when we're talking about family farms and agriculture. or family farm businesses, we like to say, because they are businesses that are the livelihood of the families. And so succession could mean that parents are passing down the farm to another family member, to children often. It could also mean that they are looking to sell the farm, sometimes selling it to a farm manager or to another family member. Or it could mean that they're looking to transition the farm to a different type of operation. So all of those things happen with family farms, where if an industry is struggling or a particular farm is struggling in its industry, they may consider doing a different type of farming. And my role in terms of the entrepreneurship and business management team of Penn State Extension is to help with the business side of farming. So since we have an aging farming population, we have a lot of farmers who are making those decisions of what happens next. When do I want to retire? How is my farm doing? There's often a younger generation that is interested in doing new types of farming, experimenting in sustainable farming, or looking at new crops that have that are showing demand in the marketplace. And we are here to help farmers sort of make those decisions and make those transitions.
And in this day and age, you have to plan for that in advance, right? This is not something that you can just all of a sudden do willy-nilly.
Exactly. And often, I mean, when you think of farms, you can think of them often like self-employed individuals or individuals who own a business. And so that's a lot more complicated process when you own a business and eventually you want to retire from that business because you carry the business. You know, the big question is what happens next? And just like a small business, a farmer has to then carry its own retirement plan, its own insurance costs. And so it's a pretty big decision. It can take a couple of years to plan that all out. It often changes over time. And so we want to help make sure that all, if possible, of our farmers have some sort of succession plan in place.
It wasn't all that many years ago, and then back for generations where this pretty much happened automatically. You know, a farm family would, you know, just kind of automatically turn over the operations of the farm and the ownership eventually to a son or a daughter. And, I mean, that's the way it happened for generations. But as you mentioned, the demographics of our family farms are changing. Many of the family farms are now owned by older folks, and it's not automatic anymore, is it, where the younger generation takes over? Some of them are not interested in being involved in farming as a career.
Right, and a lot of them have left for college and, you know, don't plan on coming back, or if they are back, they're in their industry. So, you know, we farmers need to think, well, what is going to happen next? And there's so many scenarios. We're working with farmers who may be interested in leasing their land for a period of time. Could be as easy as to a neighbor farmer who needs the extra land. Or it could be to a farming family that didn't inherit land and is looking to start a new operation. There are so many options, and there's other organizations aside from Extension that work in this realm too. Obviously, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture is very interested. They've been working with PA FarmLinks for many years. There's been programs around the state to talk about succession planning, and we've built very detailed workshops for farmers on succession planning. It takes you through even the personal aspect of negotiating with family members, bringing in sort of a third party to help ease tensions in the room and to work through that process. So there's the family dynamic that you work on, but there's also the business and legal side that you work on. And so, you know, helping to recommend legal entities that work with farmers and understand succession planning, helping to work with mediators on succession planning so we can help farmers connect to those services so they can get that important work done.
And listeners, Maria Graziani is she's well-versed in this area. She's the Farm Financial Management Educator for Penn State Extension. She's based in Beaver County, but she serves Butler and Lawrence counties as well. And she came to Penn State Extension with an MBA and a background working with the startup and food-centered businesses and organizations in various areas of financial analysis. I know of several, well, I know of a couple, put it this way, farms here in Butler County where the original owners have decided to retire, but they've leased their farmland to other neighboring farms. And it so it becomes kind of a patchwork quilt sometimes. And in some cases, you know, the leased fields will be some distance away from the farm that's actually operating them. But it gives them more territory for, you know, growing whatever they need to grow or pastures or whatever. So that's one thing. What about...
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep. I'm sorry, I interrupted
and
you.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to say that I am willing to, you know, communicate and will take calls and emails from any farmer that, you know, considering succession planning or considering leasing portions of their land to another farmer. We've got a network here between Extension and organizations from Pittsburgh all the way to Erie, which we can help sort of find lessees for farmers as well. So, you know, I want those farmers, if you're considering that or if you are considering succession planning, definitely reach out to me at Extension so that I can connect you to the right resources.
Isn't there also, Maria, a... I think it's called a farmland preservation program that operates out of Harrisburg. Am I using the right terminology? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, actually, farmland preservation can have a different name in every county that it works in. Some call it agricultural preservation. Some call it farmland preservation. But it is an agricultural land preservation program. And each county sort of has to adopt this program. And there's money for that county to preserve a certain amount of farms each year. And it's a great program, particularly for family farms that have been in the family for 50, 100, 200 years. It gives you that sort of historic status with your farm and allows you to be able to share that with the public that this farm has been in the same family for this amount of years. It also can, you know, help a farmer, particularly farmers who are, you know, heading towards retirement and sort of want to pay off that final debt. If you're eligible for farmland preservation, it helps maintain your farmland as a farm. And there are requirements that, you know, it still be used for agricultural purposes, but you'd get into sort of a long-term leasing structure with the county in order to preserve it.
Yeah, your land could be leased. I think one of the prime reasons for the development of the program, and it's quite a few years ago now, is there was a concern among state officials that so much farmland was being sold and then turned into housing developments and strip malls and everything else, and they just wanted to make sure that that didn't happen everywhere, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a really important program to make sure that a certain percentage of farmland is preserved throughout the state. And other states have very similar programs across the country to make sure that America preserves its farmland.
Can folks get information on that from you, or should they go direct to Harrisburg for information on that?
No, they can actually go to their county. So most of the time, agricultural preservation programs are connected to the county governments. So more than likely on the Butler County website, if they did the search there and looked up agricultural preservation, they would find the contact information.
You are also available, Maria, and I know you've been doing a lot of this, one-on-one counseling, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm in a process of utilizing a system called Whole Farm Planning. And this is a great program for beginning farmers, family farms that are sort of in the middle of their operation and considering expanding and growing. And we really look at the vision of the farm. We look at the vision of the individual family members or workers that are decision makers on the farm. and we really set the farm up with a system that helps them do quality decision making around any type of activity that will help them expand if they're looking at leaving an operation, or if they're looking at leaving a market, or they're looking at adding another market, or they're adding new customers. This system really creates a framework for farmers to be able to make those decisions. So I can, you know, I work with a small number of farmers in this capacity. I hope to be able to work with more farmers. It's sort of a similar program. The Farm Bill contains sort of a term called farm viability. And I'm working with some individuals across the Northeast or some organizations, ag-centered organizations, that are trying to get more federal dollars for farm viability, which boils down to more dollars for one-on-one consultations. I am this summer hosting, or Extension is hosting, and I'm sort of the co-organizer for a conference that's all farmer and rancher management educators. It'll happen in Harrisburg. And, you know, part of that is educating ourselves of how agricultural educators, particularly business and financial educators, work with farmers across the nation. And I really am a big advocate for maintaining at least a certain amount of one-on-one consultation with farmers, getting to know your farmer, working with them through their business processes, being there for them long-term, making sure their financials are stable, and helping them with things that are, you know, a farmer wants to farm. A farmer doesn't necessarily want to be on social media or have his or her head stuck in the financial books the whole time. So having a really efficient framework to be able to manage those details, but still make sure that you're doing the part of farming that you love, which is farming.
Is there a future, Maria, for the family farm, or is that soon to go by the wayside? I know we've lost a lot of them in the past decade or so.
Well, I would say it this way. I can't answer that so succinctly, but I think the numbers show that the demand for local, high-quality, healthy food, so we start getting into the terms of sustainable, organic, free-range, grass-fed, that market is increasing across the nation and across the globe. And family farms do that best. So I do think with farmers, current farmers, that are looking to diversify their operation, that are looking to get into new things, that considering new methods of farming, considering some sustainable methods, considering, you know, changes in your operation that create a healthier product that meets consumer demand, is one of the pathways that's going to sustain and strengthen the family farm, because they do it best. I mean, the bigger a farm gets, the more complicated it is to have a sustainable, healthy product, to have enough land that animals can roam, to have enough acreage and healthy soil to grow, you know, chemical-free or sustainable crops, or organic crops if you want to go for organic certification. But I definitely urge farmers to keep an open mind when they're thinking about their operation and thinking about, you know, the future of their customer in that operation.
Well, I know I'm in my personal shopping habits over the past 5 years or so, I'm willing to pay a little bit more for organic products, and I'm certainly willing to do the same for free-range chickens. I've seen the videos of the way they're raised in some places. I just don't know whether there's enough people yet who are willing to do that to, you know, mm-hmm. keep the family farms alive. I certainly hope there are.
I certainly hope there are, too, and that's part of our mission at Extension, is that, you know, we give the farmers the tools and resources to be able to keep producing and to meet that demand. We need those family farms. I mean, to have a hand on our food, to know where our food comes from, is, you know, is what assures us that what we're putting in our bodies is what the farmer or the grower says it is. It's harder to do that when it's, you know, a bigger farm, or it's a business of animal production or growing. There's that too. I mean, there are technologies in the farming industry which can help a family farm, even a really large family farm or a really small family farm, be more efficient. So I won't, you know, I don't want to also knock technology, systems like robotic milking and tech, you know, farmers having iPads and their phones out in the field in order to monitor their crop. I want those to be accessible to small farms as well so that they can efficiently produce, so that they can grow and, you know, keep a part of that market.
Yeah, some of that technology is pretty amazing, but it is expensive. And boy, you look at the price of farm equipment these days. Holy moly, knock your socks off.
yes, really, it is.
I
yes,
check
it
out
is.
Some yeah. of those things at the farm show or at county fairs, and it's really kind of scary. I've also read wire stories where a lot of second, third generation people in farm families, they're willing to try to keep the family farm going, but they're kind of doing it on a part-time basis, you know. In other words, they'll have a job somewhere, but they'll try to keep the farm going on a part-time basis, obviously with a little more outside help, just because they don't want it to go away. You know, they don't want to lose the family farm.
That's true. It happens a lot. I mean, I think the statistics show that around 55-60% of family farms have at least one family member that works off the farm and brings income to the farm. That's often a part of our financial courses, is looking at, you know, what income is a part of the family dynamic that's not sales from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But what we were talking about earlier, another interesting part that farmers need to keep in mind is that there's a growing trend in the cooperative use of equipment, cooperative agreements between farmers. So when there's an expensive piece of equipment, you can see it happened across the state of Pennsylvania. There's multiple sort of co-ops. There are co-ops for services like malting grains, roasting and malting grains. There are shared pelletizers for crops like hops. There are aggregators. And an aggregator is a business that draws agricultural products to its center, whether it's in a cooperative ownership or in a nonprofit ownership. And then that aggregator is able to get those ag products sold and distributed to customers, allowing family farms to reach a bigger, deeper customer base when they're participating in an aggregator and a distributor. So Republic Foods is one that's come to southwestern Pennsylvania, and they're getting ready to grow their operation. I'm sure there's news out and about Republic Foods and what they've been doing. And it's something that we're looking at in western Pennsylvania, so more of the northwestern part for Beaver, Butler, Lawrence. Like, how can we aggregate farm products and get them distributed? What is the need for a shared commercial kitchen space? What is the need for certified butchers for animal products? And what is the need for aggregators and distributors of farm products? That way, again, the farmer can farm, but we've got more efficient systems along the market chain to help move produce cooperatively for family farms.
Mm-hmm. You could kind of look to what happened to dairy products, milk, over the past couple of generations, because I know that's happened a lot, where they've had co-ops and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's different types of structures, like where it's a little bit more locally owned. We're looking at shared commercial kitchens, and we're looking at organizations like Republic Food, where this is not a massive chain. It's a local organization that will help drive economic development in agriculture, that will help increase the ability for family farms to get their product out there. And hopefully, you know, the end result is that farmers are selling more and making more and able to sustain their farm.
Well, I certainly hope with the help of people like you and consultants like you, we can keep them going. I mean, things change. Who would have believed 20 years ago that, you know, Sears Roebuck would be gone, Kmart would be gone, Macy's would be closing? It's just it's a whole different ball game right now across many. There are no record stores anymore.
Right. So much has gone online.
Yeah.
And farmers need to think about that too. I mean, we can't discount the packaged recipe and food service companies that are out there, like Blue Apron. Farmers are servicing and providing food to those. So our farmers here in Butler County and Beaver County and Western Pennsylvania can consider that, you know, a potential customer. You know, how do they get their produce into a company like Blue Apron? If Americans want convenience, we can't ignore that demand. It's a big demand. It's a big trend in American culture.
I've heard it's about convenient. That. What is that exactly? What is Blue Apron?
So Blue Apron is a food service delivery program. So you order online, you order either recipe style, and what comes in the box is all of the things that you would need to make that recipe. There's different size subscription packages. If you want recipes enough to cook for an entire week, or recipes for one day, or recipes for multiple days, or you want a monthly subscription and a certain amount of meals come in that subscription, and everything you need is in that box. Hmm. So you're not just grocery shopping, you're grocery shopping and recipe like planning.
One just kind of shakes one's head at all these new developments. Listen, I wanted to mention, and I know you're based in Beaver County, although you serve folks in Butler County here as well. Do you mm-hmm. have a, we have something called a farm-to-table dinner every year that's co-sponsored by Penn State Extension here in Butler County. Do you have a similar thing in Beaver County or neighboring counties?
Yeah, we do. We have a farm-to-table dinner that happens in Beaver County. It's brought on by the Grange and the Beaver County Farmers Market Association. So that always happens, I want to say, in October or November of every year in Beaver.
Well, ours here in Butler County was just this past week on Monday night. And this event has been sponsored by many years, co-sponsored, not only by Penn State Cooperative Extension, but also by the Butler County Conservation District, the Butler County Farm Bureau, the USDA Farm Service Agency, FSA, and the Ag Choice Farm Credit. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to take a second here and run down the list of honorees from this past Monday night at the farm-to-table dinner here in Butler County. Educator of the Year honors went to Mary Campbell. Buffalo Township Supervisors were named Cooperators of the Year. Eric Plowman, honored as Farmer of the Year, and a service award went to Jim Faust. And then the Bull Shipper Award, which is given each year to an individual because of their work in promoting farm and urban relations, that went to Donna Zhang, a former Penn State Cooperative Director here in Butler County. So it was a very nice evening, and nice to have all those folks honored this past Monday night. And hey, Maria, nice to chat with you again. We appreciate you joining us here today. I know your schedule's busy. Thanks for taking some time out to chat with us about your work.
Thank you. And anytime, I enjoy sharing what Extension has to offer with the public.
All right. We'll talk again. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Yep. Thank you.
Maria Graziani. She is a Penn State Extension educator specializing in financial management for farmers and for agriculture, serving three counties, based in Beaver County, it's where our office is, but she serves Butler County farmers and Lawrence County farmers as well. Coming up next month on our Penn State Cooperative Extension program, we'll be talking with Susan Bosser. Coming up next, in just a couple of minutes, we'll be chatting with Stan Kosciuszko, president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Also joining us on the final segment of the program today will be Wendy Sciullo, Vice President of Mars National Bank, and Adriana Bly, who's the manager of the new Spring Hill Suites Hotel by Marriott in downtown Butler. That's about to open. Is it open yet? It's certainly close to it. Well, we'll get details on that from Adriana. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. where they continue to operate a thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart and a wonderful big food bank for the needy. And they serve hundreds and hundreds of families every week. So how do they fund the food bank? Well, through donations, either monetary or foodstuffs. And also, because all of the proceeds from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store, every penny stays right here in Butler County and helps to fund the food bank. So you can help out by donating items to the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store, items that you no longer need. If you're doing some cleaning out of a closet or an attic or a garage, maybe clothes that don't fit anymore, whatever. Yeah. Donate them to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul instead of tossing them in the trash, because you know, if you do that, they end up in the landfill. Somebody else can use those items, maybe at a price they ordinarily wouldn't be able to afford. And all the proceeds help fund not only the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, but their client aid program as well, which helps out the needy with an electric bill or a medical bill or something at the end of the month. The thrift store is located in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. There's plenty of free parking right outside the door, and the drop-off bins are right inside the door. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Give us a moment. We'll bring our next guests into the studio, and we'll be back with more of the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a moment.
We all love the smell of fresh-cut grass, flowers blooming, and a nice warm rain. But those often mean that it's time for allergies. At Institute Hill Pharmacy, you will get the personalized care for your allergies that you deserve. Zyrtec, Allegra, Claritin, and all of your allergy prescription needs can be taken care of at Institute Hill Pharmacy, 937 East Jefferson Street in Butler, or call them at 724-285-3693. And make sure to like them on Facebook. Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Did you know that if you are a chiropractic patient at Applewood Chiropractic, a wellness program with unlimited use of their executive level fitness center may be covered by your insurance? Personalized wellness plans are designed to assist patients with treatment and preventative care. In addition to unlimited use of their safe, clean, non-intimidating fitness center, wellness plans include discounts on additional chiropractic visits, supplements, and 6 bioimpedance analyses per year. To learn more, call Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, 724-283-0 or visit applewoodchiro.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today on what was earlier a very snowy Wednesday, and it was a surprise snowfall that came just an hour or so before daybreak and really dumped on us for a while there, and most of that's all gone now. Our guest for the final segment of the program, join us here in the studio today. We say hello to Stan Kosciuszko, president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Stan, always good to see you. Always good
back
to have you here.
And it's a Wednesday, not a Tuesday.
That's right.
So I'm a little, you know,
ordinarily we meet on a Tuesday.
Normally the first Tuesday, yeah. Thank you for accommodating us.
Oh, it's quite
we had that big luncheon yesterday. Concordia was wonderful. Yeah.
Also with us here in the studio is Adriana Bly. She is the manager of the new Spring Hill Suites by Marriott Hotel in downtown Butler. Adriana, we chatted, I don't know, last year sometime?
It was a while ago,
yeah. Sometime last year, early mid-2017. It was good to see you. Nice to have you back.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Yeah.
And also with us is Wendy Shulo. Wendy is an assistant vice president and manager at Mars Bank. Wendy, nice to have you here as well.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
So what's cooking this time of year with the chamber, Stan?
Well, as I said, we had our meet and move yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're gearing up for the employee appreciation luncheon that's coming up in April. Employee of the year, golf outing, another meet and move at Shakespeare's in May. I mean, look at our website. We're busy. We're busy. And let me see. The youth leadership program will be having their third session next Friday. And I get to be with my kids, the Leadership Butler County group, this Friday. It's Education Day. So we'll be doing a whole slew of visitations. We have a panel discussion with superintendents. The kids at VoTech cook us a nice lunch. We'll be at Penn United, and then we'll be touring BC3, so and the Children's Center also, Steve Green.
Are both of you involved with the Leadership Butler County program?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm.
Are you in the class or involved?
We are in the class this year,
So have
and
you chosen?
Their graduation depends upon their performance for this project.
Yeah.
So I'm here to either nay or yay.
Well, I don't think I mean, I know that the Leadership Butler County class always selects a project. Wendy, I'm not sure what you folks are doing. Can you fill us in?
Oh, absolutely. This year's project is actually called The Inn. It's located north of the Clearview Mall, right here in Butler. The Inn is a maternity home for unwed mothers that are at risk for homelessness. We're very fortunate here in Butler County to have this because it's the only one of its kind in about a three-hour radius.
I've not heard of it. It sounds like a marvelous program, though. The Inn, as in no room at the inn. talking about here.
Yeah, it's a home ranch that can house, I think, four women right now. They're working on making two more rooms for another to accommodate six. So the project, what it encompasses is the grounds around the home. What we're doing is we're working together as a leadership group to modify those grounds and transform them into viable vegetable and gardening beds. With this, what the Inn is hoping to do is help these women not only get them on their feet, but also to teach them some life skills through these gardens, give them a place to reflect, and to learn some basic skills on plantings and things like that. And once the project is completed, which is what we're fundraising for, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but the Inn itself will be maintained, the gardens around it will be maintained by the residents once we've completed those. Mm-hmm.
So the residence is already there, Adriana, but you're going to be working on the landscaping around it, huh?
I think it's important to note that the Inn is run by Life Choices.
Okay.
Life Choices is actually a medical clinic located in Armstrong, Indiana, and Butler counties. And so they're the ones that came up with this concept to do this home because their mission is to empower choices for life, sexual integrity, and healthy families. And so their board said, let's open one of these homes, and they wanted their first effort to be in Butler County. Mm-hmm. And they did a proposal to the leadership class, and that's who they chose. So it's, you know, it is run by an agency that has been around for a long time. They're United Way approved. They've been checked out, so it's a completely legitimate, very successful agency.
Well, that's great. I just hadn't heard about it before. I think it's marvelous. Yeah. I think it's wonderful.
And I think for our class, the biggest reason why we wanted to choose this was in their proposal, they had ideas on moving forward after we do the garden that they want the women there to learn from that. They want them to learn how to pick the vegetables, how to grow them, how to cook them into different meals. And so there's going to be more than just a garden. There'll be like a whole education piece to it afterwards. So.
And these young women will be there for the duration of their pregnancy, is that right?
They can go up to 18 months, I think, that they said, after the baby is born. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they do like them to, you know, try to get back on their feet and find a permanent residence. Mm.
Well, it's a great, great program.
Yeah.
So what all sorts of work is involved in your landscaping plan. Has that been worked out yet, Wendy?
Yeah, so we were very fortunate. Bree Sherman, she is one of the ladies that helps run the inn, and we went out and actually met with her back before the snow came down, took a visit of the exterior of the home. Some of the gardens aren't in that great of shape, so really what we're going to do is we're going to go in and we're going to tear those all out and replant those. Mm-hmm. So there's some raised beds that we're planning on. Did you want to speak to that?
So we're also fortunate to have Peter with Eisler Nurseries. He's in our class. So he got us a quote of some of the things that, you know, to bring in. But we're going to try to see what work we can do by ourselves as a class. So, you know, that we learn from that and then, you know, save a little bit of money on that way. But they did get us a quote together on how much the landscaping will cost. And that's what, like, the raised planters, that's, you know, a big part of that. And that's the main part of, you know, what we're doing. So we do have a list and amounts for that.
So your work will mainly involve gardens? I mean, you're not going to be putting in trees or anything like that. Or maybe you are.
Oh, they'll be putting in trees. No, yeah. In this class. The project is kind of twofold. One is to beautify the actual house. And it's a house in a neighborhood. It's a ranch-style house, very on a beautiful piece of property.
Yes.
In a nice residential neighborhood in Center Township. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to tear out all the existing landscaping, which is pretty ratty.
Yeah.
And then they're going to make the house look attractive because they want these women to be in a nice environment. And then the back part they're going to have, they're calling it the Garden of Hope. So it'll be a mixture of flowers and nice plants, but also herbs, vegetables, so that, as Adriana said, the women can grow their own vegetables, grow their own herbs, and then learn how to cook and prepare that. So part of the mission of the inn is definitely to make have these women go through a very safe pregnancy so that the child is healthy, and also to give them some life skills and to help them to advance afterwards for whatever choice they make for that child. You know, to help them get on their feet, to make the right choices, to have a good support system. So the project is really nice. Now, they have an ambitious, what I always say is these classes, they go out and they want to buy a Cadillac. So they have to bid on a Cadillac. They may end up with a Prius. They may end up with a Soul. But knowing these classes, they always far exceed their goals. And they were, like Adriana said, they were very fortunate to have Peter Kine, whose family has Eisler Landscapes and Nurseries, to go out there, and that is their, you know, their expertise.
A little inside info from Peter, huh?
Absolutely.
A little inside nudge there.
Yeah. He's definitely got the knowledge. Yeah. So
they also twisted his arm for their fundraiser that I'll let them talk about, because guess where the fundraiser is going to be?
I was just going to ask about, first of all, what is the fundraiser, Wendy?
So, Shoot for the Moon. And so, you know, with the leadership program, we always, one, take donations. So if you would be interested in donating to the cause, you can contact the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Their number is 724-283-2222. But donations can be made there, as well as the fundraiser that we put together, which is a murder mystery dinner and basket raffle, which is going to be at the atrium in Butler.
And that's going to be held on Saturday, May 12th. The doors open at 5:30 with dinner at 6 and then the show at 7. And our theme is Robin Hood Ain't Looking So Good. So we are trying to get all the decoration, everything to match the theme and kind of have fun with it and roll with that. So for at the dinner, the basket raffle will be one of our main fundraisers for that night. And
are tickets on sale yet, or will they be soon? Or?
Tickets are on sale. You can purchase them through the chamber. Mm-hmm. These have been very successful in the past. We've already got quite a few tickets sold, and we're really looking forward to selling it out this year.
So limited seating. A third of the tickets are sold already.
Mm. Nice.
And they still have a couple months. So if you want to get your ticket, you better call and reserve now.
Have you ever been to one of these? I have. They're great fun. They really are.
Yeah.
I haven't yet, so I'm really looking forward to it.
They're great fun.
They're a lot of fun. It's
everybody
amazing.
Gets into the spirit of things. Robin Hood Ain't Looking So Good, Mystery's Most Wanted, presenting this. Well, This obviously is not the Sean Connery edition of Robin Hood, then, because he was looking pretty good as Robin Hood.
Yeah, he was, yeah, and so was, who was Kevin Costner was Robin Hood.
Kevin Costner, yes. Everybody's done everybody was Robin Hood. Yeah. My favorite is Sean Connery. Have you seen that film? It was Audrey Hepburn's last film.
Oh, I've not seen that one.
She played Maid Mary.
It's a beautiful film.
Yeah, and they were both, they're both past their arrow shooting prime years.
Yeah.
So they were in their senior years, and
it was Grandma and Grandpa Robin Hood.
Yeah, kind of. It was lovely, really.
It was a good movie, yeah, you're right.
Well, anyway, it's not Sean. It's Robin Hood Ain't Looking So Good this time. So I'm sure there'll be a Sherwood Forest setting, and you have all the characters, Friar Tuck and Alan the Dale, and anybody else. These are all audience participation shows, by the way. That's why they're so much fun.
Oh, and people love them. Yeah. Like I said, they have been well attended. That was one of the reasons that we, you know, went back to that, just because there was such a draw for it, and people were really asking for more of it.
Mm-hmm. So, get ticket information.
Yeah, groups can reserve tables of 8 or 10, and that's how most of the reservations have been coming in. It's a group of friends or a group of business people that have gotten in, and they've reserved an 8 or a 10. And all credit cards are accepted. Donations are tax deductible because they go through the Chamber Foundation, so it's a 501c3. And any contributions that anybody wants to make, a basket, a financial contribution, a check, anything that somebody wants to contribute, just send that over to the Chamber or call, and we'll tell them what they need. But that also is tax deductible, and we will send them a receipt for those products.
And Adriana, what's the date for that again?
Saturday, May 12th.
It'll be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
A week into March already, yeah.
Time flies.
Is this the prime fundraiser for your project, or have you done other stuff?
This is the prime fundraiser. This is where we usually make the bulk of our money. It's a great opportunity for businesses to highlight themselves, too. You know, if you have a business that wants to donate a basket, that's where a lot of our donations have come from, you know, local charities, banks, small business owners, you know, even if it's not a basket, even if it's just a gift card maybe from your establishment, you know, we can group that in with a couple of other things that we've got and make it into a, you know, really nice basket.
And you're hoping to be able to cover the costs of your project.
Absolutely.
At the end.
The total cost was, about $17,000?
Yeah.
That's our... Cadillac.
That's
their
Cadillac.
Yeah.
Now, what they'll also be doing, the class has broken down very efficiently into different groups, and they're targeting different things. So one of the groups will be targeting sponsorships of, let's say, one of the beds. So a company, ABC Company, can sponsor a bed. Their name will be on a plaque on that bed. XYZ Company can perhaps sponsor one of the trees or a bench, and their name and plaque will be on that. So they'll be approaching companies to do that. They're not going to begin any work until the spring. And with the snow we had this morning, I'm looking for, the lamb to come in at the end of March. You know, the lion has been here, and I'm tired fighting that beast. But the class is very well organized, and I think they're enjoying being together. And they have a few more sessions left, so I get to be with this group for 4 more sessions.
Well, that'll be a great project. By the way, I have Doug Oster, the organic gardener, coming in on the program in a couple of weeks. Maybe he can give you a few tips on
absolutely.
Get going in those raised beds. that'll be nice. We need to take a break. We have midday lottery numbers available yet. They are? Okay, we'll stop for those, and we'll be back and talk more with our guests here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be back right after this.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 5151. Pick 3 is 579579. The pick 4, 3791. The pick 5, 40674. Wild ball for each of those is 3. And the treasure hunt is 3, 7, 13, 23, and 27. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us here on the program today. By the way, coming up tomorrow, we'll have some open talk time, and the president of Butler County Community College will be visiting with us tomorrow. We're scheduled to chat with Dr. Nick Neupower. We've been visiting here today with the co-chairs. They're both class officers in the leadership Butler County class, but co-chairs of the project, Adriana Blythe, Fairfield Inn and Suites, and also Wendy Shulo of Mars Bank. So are you going to be the manager of the new hotel, too, or are you going to move from Fairfield down to there?
So I'm just in Butler now with the Spring Hill Suites, the one downtown.
I see.
Yeah.
Which will be opening soon. That'll be a great thing for downtown, huh?
Oh,
wow.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And really needed. You know, the one that's up on the hill is always booked. Can't get a room. Days Inn is doing really well.
Well, I've been excited to watch the finishing touches as they've gone on the last few weeks. Nice to see the signage up and the lights at night, you know. Yeah, looks good.
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
That's the final.
Downtown's doing good. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Downtown is doing well.
Yeah, that's the final piece of the Center City project now. That's great. Now, you mentioned, Stan, that you have the... did we talk about the Distinguished Service Award nominations? They're still open, aren't they?
I just emailed that nomination form out, and they're going to be reviewing on April 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Butler Eagle and Butler AM Rotary that do that. And Dale and Millie Pinkerton have agreed to chair it along with Ron Vednecker. The Chamber sort of does administrative coordination for it. They meet at our facility. But I'm not allowed to be in on the meetings because I'm not a past DSA winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the people who select the winners.
I wonder why they've never nominated me. Maybe it's because I don't live in Butler. You have to live in Butler. And there's two categories. There's the junior that's up to age 45, and then 46 and beyond is the senior award winner. And we're always looking for nominations for that.
Well, it's a very prestigious award, and I know the Butler Eagle and AM Rotary have been co-sponsoring that for some years.
And I think that the dinner, it's at the Country Club. I think it's on May 2nd, the first Tuesday of May, and that's when they'll present the award. But it's a wonderful honor for someone to receive.
Yes, yeah.
So we're working with that. We like to help out on different things. And like I said, this class, I'll be seeing them on Friday for their education day. And then they have a few more days after that, healthcare day.
What's education day? Do they go like to PC3 or somewhere?
We start out at Penn United because Penn United does that technical training at the Carl Jones Education Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important that people realize education is not just college. Education is technical also. You can so Penn United will host them for breakfast, and
especially down at that complex, which is, you know, that started in a garage. Did you know that?
No.
Penn United Technologies started in a garage.
Correct.
Look at that complex now down there along Freeport.
Very successful.
There's
very
like successful. 5 or 6 buildings there now.
Yeah. And then we'll be going to the Children's Center. So they'll get to see Head Start and the project from 2 years ago, which was the Nature Trail that the class did. They were talking about that. And then from there we get on to VOTEC, talk about learning trades and different alternative education paths. The nice thing about that is that Court Spiker, the director, sets up a panel discussion for them, and he invites superintendents from around the area and also school board members. So they get into a nice discussion with superintendents, school board members, and the students down there at the culinary school. They put on a phenomenal lunch for them. And then from there, we'll go to BC3, and they'll get to tour all the new. There's so many new buildings at BC3. Mm-hmm. And when you said Nick was going to be here tomorrow, I'm glad I'm not following him. He has to follow me, which is an easier act to follow. It's easy to follow Stan. It's not easy to follow Dr. Neupower because what they've done at BC3 is just unbelievable.
He's been quite the president there, that's for sure.
Well, the number one community college in the state, and that didn't come easy.
2 years in a row. Yeah.
And so that's where they'll be doing Education Day, and then in April it's Healthcare Day. And this class has the benefit of having the new VA facility. A woman from the VA, Amy Stewart, is on the leadership board, and so they're getting a first class inside. Not even a $10 tour, it's a $100 tour of the VA. So they'll be there, and then we'll be going to Thompson Miller Crematorium. and then from there to Butler Health System, and they get to visit the operating rooms, the new robotic operating.
Wow.
So their healthcare day is really highly charged also.
That's right. They have the new Da Vinci computer operating system up there.
Exactly. Yeah. So they get to put their scrubs on, and they get to go in there and see it.
See.
Would you say, Wendy, even for a person that's been around Butler for a while, that being involved in this class is a real eye-opener?
It definitely is. I think once you get in and see all the intricacies and what Butler really has to offer, it really is amazing. You know, I've had people for years talk about the leadership group that Stan runs, and it was great to have had the opportunity to finally be a part of it and see what it has to offer and what Butler has to offer.
You concur with that, Adriana?
I agree. So I mean, I lived in Slippery, born there, and I lived in Butler since. I've always been in Butler County, and I sort of take things for granted. And then when we've just learned so much through the classes, and it's things that, you know, you deal with, but you don't have to deal with in so much detail. And you learn what people do, and you learn all that Butler County has to offer when you think that you know, but you don't really. One of my favorite things was IDL. Like, I had no idea how much they do there, and when we got to tour that was really eye-opening. And we've just, every single class, I leave knowing more about the county and happy that I've had this opportunity to be in the leadership class.
Great, great program that you started how many years ago, Stan?
I have 2 seats left for the class of 2019.
Oh, really?
I have 20 applicants already.
Wow.
And so there are 2 seats available. If anybody's interested in the program, you can look on our website. All the information is there, or just call me and I'll send it to you. But no, it's a wonderful program. The Chamber actually has been doing it for probably 27 years now since they started it. And every year it evolves because these participants do evaluations, and then a couple of them will go on the board for next year, and then they help to redesign the program. Uh-huh. And then there are always new things. Like I said, the VA is new. The year IDL moved into East Butler, we contacted IDL, and they said, yes, we'll let you tour. So that was new on the program. So we like to keep up with new things. 3 years ago, the Lemieux Complex, UPMC Lemieux Complex, said we would like to host you on Southern Butler Day. The Regional Learning Alliance wanted to host us one of the days. So it's constantly changing. We were at Westinghouse 2 years in a row. So it really is a look into what's going on in Butler County. It's a 12-month program. You know, at least 1 or 2 days a month, so it's a commitment. And then this project is a big commitment. The class, decides collectively on what the project is and then how to go about attaining that goal.
Wonderful opportunity, though. Hey, and if you'd like to support this year's Leadership Butler County Class Project, you can get tickets already for the upcoming Murder Mystery Dinner. Adriana, what's the details on that again? How do you get them? Call the Chamber?
Call the Chamber, 724-283-2222. It's Saturday, May 12th at the Atrium, 5:30. Dinner. There will be a bar that they can contribute to. It's not a cash bar, but they can make a donation towards a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And delicious food. Fairground Market will be doing the food. Tommy always knows.
Can't beat that.
Make my tummy happy. So,
do a nice job.
And it's for a wonderful cause, and it is all tax deductible. That's the nice thing. So.
There'll be lots of wonderful baskets there, too, basket auction. Well, thanks, folks, for stopping in today. Nice to have you here for sure. It's a wonderful project that I was really just learning about. I think it's fantastic. Our guests, Wendy Shulo, Assistant Vice President Manager, Morris Bank, and Adriana Bly from Spring Hill Suites by Marriott of Fairfield Inn. And they're both co-chairs of the Leadership Butler County Class Project, and Stan Kosciuszko, of course, President of the Butler County Chamber, visiting with us. We mentioned that Dr. Nick Neupower is scheduled in tomorrow, President of Butler County Community College. A couple of notes. We had a call, several weeks ago, from somebody that wanted to know if there was going to be a Daffodils Days program here in Butler this year, because it's very popular and it's a big fundraiser for the American Cancer Society. The answer is yes. It's going to be a little bit later this month. We'll get the details on it on Monday when Tony Grupp joins us. And we'll also next week be talking with the speaker who's going to be coming to Butler for the Good Friday breakfast at the Butler County Family YMCA. And she'll be visiting with us, too. So lots of good guests coming up over the next several days. I'm Dave Malarkey. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Don't forget tonight, Penguin Hockey on WISR as the Pens are in Philadelphia to play the Flyers. It's a late start today, so we will not be on the air with Penguin warm-up until 7:30 from Philadelphia. 7:30 tonight for Penguin Hockey. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow here on It's Your Turn on WISR at 12:30.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, your source for the latest local news, sports, and community activities. Only on WISR, 680 AM Butler.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Zip.